Red 5, this is Gold Leader. Making final attack run on the Death Star. I can see the thermal exhaust port.
Blow this thing so we can go back to Princess Leia and claim our reward. Our reward of 99 T's!
It's the 99p challenge! Hello, I'm literally Sue Perkins, and welcome to the 99p challenge, a wireless quiz descended directly from dinosaurs. In fact, archaeologists digging in Tony Robinson recently found the fossilized remains of an ancestor of the 99p challenge and were surprised to see it was a biped with a rudimentary beak. Clutched in its tiny claws were the half-eaten bits of tonight's guests, who are Armando Iannucci, Simon Pegg, Peter Serafinowicz, and John Holmes. Lovely. And now, by the pricking of my thumbs, a panel game this way comes. We've all seen films. I've seen two, but as one of them had Adam Sandler in it, it doesn't really count, does it? What are the film's prequels? Who can forget the classic Disney prequel, One of Our Dinosaurs is Over There? Or Martin Scorsese's prequel to Taxi Driver, Bloke Doing the Knowledge on a Moped? So I'd be very grateful if the panellists could bless us with the gift of film prequels. John, you're a newcomer to 99p Challenge, so I'm going to treat you real bad. There you go, rules is rules, and you go first.
OK, well, I was in Blockbuster last night, and you know that section of Blockbuster that no one really goes in where all of the sleeves are sort of faded and yellowed? I managed to pick up a copy of Capricorn Nil. And conceived on the 4th of October.
That one certainly sounds like multiplex heaven. Peter, what prequel news do you bring?
Gums. Gums. I said gums.
You had to say that twice.
Gums. There you go. Malcolm W. was good. Really works. Apocalypse Soon. Schindler's To-Do List. Number one, make list.
Yeah, you can put me in for that one, certainly. Simon, how about you?
Herbie discovers his wife is pregnant by another car, which is the prequel to Herbie Goes Bananas. Beauty and the Bee. That just made me laugh, that one. How the hell are we going to get across the River Kwai?
I'm still dealing with Beauty and the Bee. I don't know anyone else.
Lawrence of Heathrow.
Armando, give us some prequels.
Pubic Cassidy and the Sundance Boy. And I just watched 3.13, which is the very dull prequel to Pi. Danny, the semi-finalist of the world.
Any more?
Yeah, I've got loads. I've got about 100.
Oh, go on.
Yeah.
All right, point your pun gun and let it fly.
Okay. Honey, the kids are their normal sizes.
You sure you've still got hundreds there?
The second in line to the throne and I.
I went to go to a musical. I got Fiddler in the Lift.
What about four engagements and a christening? I mean,
all right, because I've got four engagement parties and a doctor's appointment.
The Italian application form.
The Fifth Sense. This is a film about a boy that can see.
All the time.
And of course, Premenstrual, which is the prequel to The Blob.
I love it when people go, ugh, and clap at the same time.
Still here with the wind.
Attracting Private Ryan with a range of over 50 army careers.
That was alarming, outrageous, courageous and charming in almost equal measure, although you did miss out When Will Those Lambs Quieten Down a Bit. They do say money corrupts, so let's turn them to darkness with this shower of pence. I shall award Peter 7 pence, Simon 6 pence, Armando 11 pence, and John, I thought, had a stormer of that round, but he's near 1 pence. Ground floor perfumery, stationery and leather goods, wigs and haberdashery, kitchenware and food going up, dum, dum, da, dum, dum. That, of course, is the theme tune to popular olden days department store hilarity, Dad's Army. But imagine I were in a department store right now, stuffing my coat with lingerie and delicatessen offcuts. I tell you, if that were true, I'd be keeping a sharp ear out for those department store announcements that you get, so speak them to me, starting with you, Captain Peter Cock.
Customers are reminded that Mr. Decker of Black & Decker is signing drills and workmates.
And now you, young Mr. Pegg.
Will Mr. Bomb please report to the control room? That's Mr. Bomb. It's a code.
And are you free, Mr. Iannucci?
Could Miss Anthrax report?
And now you, Mr. Holmes, otherwise known as the supposedly young cheeky virile one.
Due to strict Sunday trading laws, the store will be closing in 10 minutes when Deputy Manager Mr. Christ will be turning all the tables over.
Be sure to visit the food hall for our dazzling new range of racist cakes.
If I could have your attention, there's a little Jamie Wildermere who's lost his mum. Tragically, it was 4 years ago when she was hit by a van.
The store will be closing in 5 hours. Could any snails that are shopping and make their way to the doors? Thank you.
Customers are reminded that the seatbelt sign has now been turned off.
Well, if we're going to go down that route, you know the HSSB building in Cromer? Well, I do the voice for the lifts in that one.
Cashier number 4, please.
It really is that
you
easy.
Beautiful little That's horse.
It. I think it actually does that.
You know, there's that laurel over there. Just sit on that. Sit on it. That was good. And with that, let the shop stop. Okay, Peter, I'm afraid I'm going to need you to go on the tills. John, can you go to haberdashery? Amanda, I'm afraid, can you clean up some sick that a child has done? And I'm afraid to say that, Simon, you're fired. Let me all give you your change. Take that and party. Okay, this is the song lyric round. If music is the food of love, then the melody must be the potatoes of love, and the lyrics must be the minimum 15% kidney parts of love. So I'm going to play you some song lyrics, and you have to help me work out what in the name of heck they're going on about. So, panel, here's your first snatch of song. Sunday. 7 days, of course, by Craig David there. What a week he had. Incidentally, I bought that record on a Monday, and by Tuesday I wanted to commit harikiri. My question is, of course, what might Craig have done in week two, John?
I think in week two he decided he didn't really like her very much on the Monday, and then thought about calling her a chucker on Tuesday. Wednesday thought, well, I might text her. And then he couldn't really think of how to let her down gently on Thursday, Friday and Saturday, so he moved house on Sunday.
OK, any more answers on that one?
I think week two he probably would have just lied on his bed with his trousers off thinking about week one. I know I would.
Or doing his receipts.
It is taxation time again, and even little solster Craig David must pay tax. OK, let's play the second tune now. Tell her about it. Tell her all your crazy dreams. Let her know you need her. Let her know how much she means. What a feel-good tune that isn't. Wise words of advice from the marvellous pint-sized keyboard wizard, Mr. Joel there. Tell her about it, comma, tell her all your crazy dreams. So what dreams would you tell her, Armando?
It's a crazy dream of mine that... A dream that one day, just one day, all of God's children, black men and white men, Protestants and Catholics, Jews and Gentiles, are in a vest talking to my uncle.
John, do you have a crazy dream?
I do have a crazy dream, Sue. I actually had a dream that Billy Joel himself became Piano Man when he was bitten by a radioactive piano. And it inherited all the abilities and characteristics of a piano, so he was able to fight crime with bar jazz. But the main drawback was when he couldn't get downstairs without the help of Laurel and Hardy.
Peter, do you have a crazy dream that you'd tell her?
I've never had a dream because I've never been to sleep.
Could you sound a bit more like Neil Morrissey when you speak?
I've never had a dream because I've never been to sleep.
OK, hey, Mr. DJ, put another record on. Let's see what this is. How do you do what you do to me? I wish I knew. If I knew how you do it to me, I'd do it to you. How do you do what you do to me by Jerry and his pacemakers? So what exactly do you think she is doing to Mr. Jerry? Which I knew. Do you, Peter?
Is it something to do with Jerry's seven faulty hearts? Well, I can't elaborate any further.
You don't need to. We're still dining out over cashier number four, please. You're safe. No one can take that away from you. What do you think, Armando? What's she doing?
She managed to take him up the Mersey. She also got him to order one of the pacemakers to walk alone. Something he once swore he'd never do.
OK, moving on, let's play the last track, which is this. Tell me why can't we live together? Everybody wants to live together. Why can't we live together? Why Can't We Live Together by Timmy Thomas and a man who obviously is very new to percussion playing. Now, if everybody does want to live together, we ask, what if they did? Would there be practical problems caused by everyone? That really is everyone, the entire population of the known world living in the same house. Simon, what could be the problems?
How many bathrooms?
I'm afraid there's only one.
That's going to be a problem.
OK.
There'll be queues in the morning.
Would two do you?
Two would be great, yeah. Right.
Would they all be on different time zones, everyone? Has this been thought through?
That's true. There'll be an alarm clock going constantly for the whole day.
And everybody saying good morning all through the day and night.
But no one would be able to get to sleep anyway, knowing there's at least 100,000 psychopathic doctors in the house.
You'd definitely have to write your name on your milk in the fridge.
But you'd have to write your name and some other thing that distinguished you from the million other Peter Serafinowicz's that there are. What about TV? What about watching, you know, I want to watch Buffy?
Yeah, but all the cast of Buffy would be there anyway.
So they could act it. Yeah. Just live Buffy.
Once you get past the 10,000 corpses a second.
That would be bad.
Although, even if everybody in the world lived in the house, when something was going to be delivered, no one would be in.
I don't know, it'd be weird not having any neighbours, though, wouldn't it?
You'd be lonely, wouldn't you?
No.
What would the itemised phone bill be like?
Difficult.
Yeah, but who would you be phoning?
If the So Solid crew had moved into the house first, the rest of us everybody would all be in the garden.
You know, the So Solid crew. Who is the cox of the So Solid crew?
Romeo, yeah, and the Romeo. One who got shot.
Oh, right.
They're the cox, anyway.
I was going to say, the one that got shot is not so solid now.
So fragmented crew. Yeah. OK, for you, this round is over. Let me add up the musical pennies. And at the end of that round, I'm delighted to say that Peter has 7 pence, Simon has 5 pence, Armando has 11 pence, and John has 8 pence. Jennifer Lopez's bum is hollow. Like the hump of a camel. Instead of filling it with water, she uses it to store toilet duck. That's a fact. an all-true 99p challenge fact, and so I beg the panel to astound me with equally amazing truths, feats, or even world records. Armando, you're first.
Evel Knievel has at some point broken every bone in his brother's body.
Is that his brother Pleasant Knievel?
Dead Knievel.
John, tell me your feat or your fact.
Fact. Tom Jones sweats gravy.
You learn something new, don't you? Simon, amaze me with your fact.
Some cats can type.
Okay, Peter, have a go at a fact.
Fact. Originally, Warship Down was all about robots.
But no one felt sorry for Fife with a mechanised rabbit when it got chewed up by a combine harvester.
It's on red eyes.
I'd forgotten this one. Eskimos have loads of words for cliché.
Evel Knievel once managed to ride a bike over all of his brother's bones laid out to him.
Peter, do you have one?
Yeah. Dreadlocks are so called because they're frightened of keys.
If all of So Solid crew jumped into the air at once, the moon would collide with the earth.
It is impossible to spell the word arm with the bones in your leg. Though it is possible to spell the word leg with the bones in your arm. The world's oldest maths prodigy is 39.
You've Been Framed is only enjoyed by the mentally ill.
And Lisa Riley. And that's enough of that. Let's give John 3p. I'm going to give Armando 4p. I'm giving Peter 5p. But the winner of that round is Simon Pegg with 14p. And that noise tells me that it's time to turn the contestants on each other. You all have one vote each. You must vote for who you think should lose 10p. Simon, who do you think should lose 10p?
Sue, I'd like to nominate Pete.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Okay. John, who would you like to see lose 10p?
Peter.
Armando, it's getting very difficult now.
So difficult, so difficult.
I know.
So difficult.
It's not that difficult, I've been there.
Did you find you were less famous when you came out than when you went in? It's got to be Pete. It's got to be Pete.
Okay. Peter, who would you like to see lose 10p?
Well, I think I'm going to have to say me. And that's really difficult because I really like me.
Well, Peter, you know that this is a democracy. You're aware of that. Mm-hmm. John, you've lost 10p. OK, the next round's about zoos. We've all been to them. Some, like Peter, have escaped from them only recently. Luckily, I've tracked him down and later will be stunning him in the buttocks with a tranquilizer. I went to one once and the creatures on show were treated no better than animals. So my question to each of you is this. How would you make zoos more humane? John.
Access to a heavy petting zoo.
Now, that I am a fan of, yeah. Armando?
Two things. Never put elephants in with puffins. And cheer all the animals up by broadcasting into each cage a speeded-up film of Peter Greenaway rotting.
Selective.
It's one for the art house listeners.
Yep. OK, Simon, how would you make animals' lives better?
If they bring 50p and they can wear their own clothes.
Do they get to play hangman on a Friday?
Yeah. OK, yeah, sure.
Peter, it's your go. What would you do?
I think the rhinos should be fed their own ground horns so they can enjoy the aphrodisiac properties.
I think all the animals should have days out, you know, and they all go out as a group to Alton Towers, perhaps the V&A, but yeah. Not a zoo. No. Not a zoo, which is also having a day out.
I think in zoos, animals should be given internet access. Particularly locusts, because then they could log on to Locusts Reunited. which has the most members of anything ever. And it's like locusts going, were you involved in the plague of biblical times?
The swarm of 96, that was a cracker.
All that.
Yeah. I've read the internet, it's rubbish.
They should let the lions sit on big giant eggs.
For why?
For fun.
Yeah.
Camels should be allowed to store Tia Maria in their humps.
I think they should finally feed the tigers Frosties because they obviously... We've all seen it, do you know what I mean? Chuck a bit of raw meat in.
And they are great.
Yeah. No, grrr.
Okay, the ark is full. Now, I've got some money to give out, but you have to beg for it. And literally beg for it. Beg for your pence. Come on, beg.
Oh, come on, you.
No, that was poor. That was poor. No pence for that round. Some applause, please. Now, hypnotism puts people in a highly suggestible state with potentially far-reaching consequences. For example, Mick Jagger is not actually Mick Jagger. He's a man who went to a hypnotist show in 1961 and was just told to act like Mick Jagger. Tragically, the hypnotist died of a heart attack before he could clap his hands. In this round, I want the panellists to be the calm, authoritative voice of a self-hypnotist tape. Simon, make us do your bidding.
When this tape ends, you will no longer want to smoke alcohol. In just a few minutes, your fear of touching electronic recording devices will be gone forever. Please turn over the tape now.
You are slowly falling backwards into a big tramp. When I bark once, you will wake up and confuse being groovy with being gravy. And go to a party where there is dancing with hilarious consequences.
Okay, Snow White, just relax. And in a moment, you'll be completely free of your fear of touching dwarves. You are feeling sleepy. Oh.
You are confident, secure in yourself. You're going to stand as leader of the Conservative Party.
When I clap my legs, you will think I've hypnotized you into thinking you've hypnotized me into thinking I can clap my legs. But unbeknownst to you, you will be right. When you wake up, you will no longer be impressed by Will's self.
Well, what do you know? I'm cured. You'll all get 7 pence. So when the audience clap their hands, this round is over. Nostalgia takes you back, doesn't it? What do we remember, though? The 5th of November? The Alamo? That you're a womble? Whatever. This round is about the olden, golden days when spangles were called marathons and we rode around on Rubik's Cubes. Simon, what do you remember?
Do you remember when video cassettes were the size of mattresses?
Yeah. That was, yeah,
crazy
times.
Your video recorder had to be the size of a bed to fit. Yeah.
Did you ever have one of those beta mattresses?
Oh. Yeah. You win. Do you remember every Sunday we had to stay in and sleep, and apart from vicars who patrolled the streets on giant spiders?
Yeah. John, any memories flooding back?
Well, you know, kids' games. You know that one where you had a donkey and you had to pile sort of mining equipment on it till it collapsed? We played that as a kid. It was called Animal Cruelty.
Remember those priests used to come around and write the Ten Commandments on your bottom?
That programme on Sunday mornings, Les Dawson's Creek.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
Do you remember when they took Ready Breck off the market because it contained dangerous levels of uranium?
Remember those days you could buy 2 Gobstoppers, 3 packets of crisps and a Bentley and still have change from £100,000?
Do you remember Wisps? They were like sharper wasps. There was a summer when there was sort of an infestation of them, but it was doubly bad because it was the same summer as the vicars' strike, and they refused to believe in Jesus until their demands were met.
Do you remember when only some people had been on TV?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Was there a time when it was selective?
Yeah. Can you remember when Dracula had that airline?
Stop now. Stop now. And, of course, you missed, obviously, bell-bottom hovercraft. Who can forget those? It's money time. At the end of that, I'm going to award Armando 11 pence, John 12 pence. I'm giving Peter 13 pence, and Simon gets 20 pence.
Thank you very much.
Keep me, that means that was the last round. So let's total up the pennies and see who won. In fourth place, with a very minimal 15 pence, it's Peter Serafinowicz. Third place with 31 pence is Amanda Iannucci. In also close second place with 44 pence, it's John Holmes. But this week's winner with a magnificent 52 pence, it's Simon Pegg! Simon and Peter are exchanging shirts and a more than loving embrace. Which, if you're lucky enough to possess a webcam, then you can see later. You are the champion, Simon, my friend. Now you may retire quietly to run an antique shop in Oxfordshire, a bit like Ronnie Barker. Or you can gamble what you've won for a top prize of 99 pence. What will it be, Simon?
So I'm going to gamble.
No antiques for you. It's hard and fast as we play Name as Many British Motorways as You Can.
Name as many British motorways as you can. Can you do it? Can you can't.
This game is called Name as Many British Motorways as You Can. In some seconds, I want you to name as many British motorways as you can. I'll need at least five or you go home with nothing. Starting now.
OK, M1.
Think, Simon.
I...
It follows logically. Think.
M4. M1.
Simon, there's one in Scotland.
M90.
Listen, one that rhymes with N25.
Ben 25?
No!
M5! What's the one...
It's one round Birmingham.
80 meet
Manchester,
in Birmingham.
Manchester.
M56! M56, that's fine.
Well,
it was rough, but I got there.
Yeah. On a technicality, there isn't the Ben 25, but the seconds are up. I'll give it you. Congratulations, you did get five motorways. Simon, you're going to go home to your bedsit tonight and kick yourself because you forgot the M42 and the A1 open brackets, M close brackets. And as far as up to Peterborough, because sections of it are motorway classified. So no matter, though, you've won 99 pence. And as the pee showers down from the roof...
Ow!
It's time to say goodnight now!
That was the 99p Challenge, presented by Sue Perkins, with Armando Iannucci, Peter Serafinowicz, John Holmes and Simon Pegg. It was written by Andy Riley, Kevin Cecil and John Holmes, and produced by David Tyler. This was a positive production for the BBC.